Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and we can ask ourselves questions every single day of our lives, like, what's my vision? What are the problems that I need to solve? How do I stay at the top of the consciousness cone? How do I balance myself in each of the seven areas of life rather than use each of the seven areas of life to balance each other and therefore get myself into a confusing pickle in my life? We can ask, are the people around me happy, and therefore be very focused on kindness and giving? We can ask ourselves the question, am I well? Am I looking after myself? Do I have self-respect? Am I doing what is right for me? These are good questions. We can ask, what's my purpose? Am I living in this moment, turning up? And that's a nice cup of coffee I'm drinking. And we can ask a multitude of questions, and I think, like everything that we share in the work of Inner Wealth, we need to have the fifth law of the universe, of nature, first and foremost in our mind, and that is the law of the one and the many. One dominant always has many subordinate, and it's no different to our goals, no different to our business KPFs. It's no different to the relationship we share with a partner. One thing is primary, everything else is important but subordinate to that question and or to that action or that to that behavior. And the question we might have on the table today is, what is the dominant question that all the questions I just went through leads up to? Is it a question of what's my purpose in life? Is it a question of how successful am I in what I do in my life? Is it a question of how much am I contributing to the world? Remembering that all of the questions are valid. We cannot say any single question a person asks themselves or another, we cannot say that there isn't such a thing as a wrong question. There are questions to which we don't have answers. There are questions to which we question the question of the answer. There are questions that are not so life-changing, and there are questions that are absolutely life-changing. If you go into the Buddhist teaching, the question will be, am I happy? Yeah, happiness. And every other question drops out of that, because in the Buddhist teaching, it suggests that there are a multitude of things we can do to become a very fulfilled, happy person. And those questions are subordinate to the core question. And so even in the Buddhist teaching, it says kindness, generosity, compassion, appreciation. These are questions you could ask. Am I being kind? Am I being generous? Am I being caring? Am I being compassionate? Am I being these things? Because if I get an affirmative answer to that, it leads up to the top of my Buddhist mountain, which is the self, saying, I am therefore content. If you go into some of the yoga teachings, it will teach you that, especially the yoga of Dharma, it will teach you that service is the highest experience of life, service, because everything else comes out of the concept of being of service to the world. So there is another pinnacle based on a philosophy, based on a belief system that millions and millions and millions of people around the world follow and seem to live happily ever after. You could go into the life of a business individual and they would say the word is success, which is another word for love. would be the core pinnacle of their mountaintop. And if you listen to some of the teachings that you can get for free around the world, what are the core ingredients of success, and follow those, which each individual minor step would lead up to a conclusion that if you do those things, if you get a yes answer to the steps to success, you will arrive at success on top of the mountain. So there are many, many different ways. In metaphysics, it will say, how conscious am I? Which is another word for, do I feel love? Do I feel love for the world around me? And when I don't feel love for the world around me, I'm frustrated or I'm irritated, and therefore I am not in a great place. So the subordinate questions have to lead in this conversation today to the core question. What is your number one question? What is your Mount Everest? If you put your Mount Everest as family happiness, you're basically, in the words of some teachers, you are becoming fuckwithable. It's a sort of an ugly word, but in a sense it's sort of true, that if somebody else's happiness and well-being is the stepping stone towards your pinnacle or Mount Everest point, then you probably have thrown yourself in, as they did in the olden days with the gladiators, in with the lions. Because every individual from the age of 3 upwards will determine what makes them happy. And again, it is like reward and punishment. They will work out what rewards and what punishments they'll deliver you because you're addicted to their happiness. So they will reward you for certain things and punish you for certain things, and you will therefore be dancing to a different flute. And it's going to be hard to make that the pinnacle of your definition of success, because it's going to change with every breath. So this question really is a challenge. So I want to take you to a quote that has really influenced my life, probably more than any other quote, and I have no idea of the root source of it, but it says, nothing of the senses ever satisfies the soul. Now, what does that really mean? What's that statement say to us? Firstly, it means that anything on the outside, our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, our accumulations, our attachments, will never satisfy us, the soul. And I can honestly vouch for the fact that no matter how many clients I've got, or how many businesses I run, or how many dollars I have invested, or how many properties I've bought, or how many relationships I've had, nothing of the senses of attachment or accumulation or ownership has ever satisfied me. I've never said, oh, that's enough, thanks. Ah, perfect, I've got enough. I'll just sit here and just have enough. So they never satisfied the ultimate question that I have inside of me. And I think, therefore, and I've tried the Buddhist one, and I've tried the Hindu, I've tried the Christian one, I've tried them on, I've tried all different suits on, and I became what you could call a dysfunctional Buddhist, or a dysfunctional Hindu, or a dysfunctional Islamic person, or a dysfunctional Christian, or a dysfunctional Freudian psychologically developed human being, or a dysfunctional metaphysician. I think I've tried all the pinnacle, the mountaintops, and they satisfied for a period, but then they gave way for the truth, which is on the outside, there was always the possibility of doing more to keep myself engaged and interested and excited about the world around me. And and living with what I call living with spirit, which is ultimately enthusiasm from the inside out. And I wonder if that might be the ultimate question. Am I living true to my spirit? Am I living true to my spirit? Now, when things come along in life, like your business might be threatened, your career might change, your job might change, your kids might not behave the way you want them to, the money might come and go, your health might come and go. You know, when everything varies and fluctuates around, if all of the things that are fluctuating are not questions, but sort of like rules of the game, a pattern, and they're not questions that lead to your ultimate question, maybe there's a greater freedom to say, am I successful? If that question, if the answer is no, can that also lead to the ultimate mountaintop? If you say, am I in love with my kids right now? The answer is no. Can that also lead to the positive mountaintop of the soul, the thing that's not attached to the outer, but leaves the outer for the game? You know, like you want to be better at something, but no matter how many achievements you make in your life, at the deathbed, you don't have a jar sitting beside you with all the things you've got in life in it. You don't take anything with you when you leave. And I think that's a really important thing to be considering here, that when we forget that time is the most precious commodity a human being has got, and that in that time we can waste it, and therefore it's gone. We can use it, still gone. We can think we've got a lot of it, but that's not true, because every second you listen to this is a second that you have lost. And so time has to become one of the variables in this so-called mountaintop. Because as soon as time becomes critical, we've externalized, haven't we? We've attached, we've connected to, we've joined the limitation of existence, because time will run out eventually, whether it's short or long, even very long, as some books are trying to advocate, lifespan and what have you, are saying you can live to 140 if you take certain pills. It's still going to run out. And the question is not going to be, how long did you live? That's not going to be a metric, because it doesn't matter. You're still going to not take a jar with you when you leave the planet. It's certainly not going to be, how much money did you make, or how many kids did you have, or how many birthday parties did you have, or how many friends did you have. It's certainly not going to be measured by those fuckwithable external things that move and shift and shapeshift along the journey of your life. So you're going to get left with this question: what's my number one? What is my number one question every single day of my life that can tolerate failure, that can tolerate sadness, that can tolerate things not going the way we want, that can tolerate sort of kids being good and bad, that can tolerate partners being attracting and repelling? And I'm going to try something on here just to let you walk away with some thinking, because this is a really important question for your coaching sessions, but it's also a really important philosophical question. Because if you're asking sub questions, let's just say there's a pyramid, and you're asking a question about halfway down the pyramid, thinking that the positive answer to that question is your ultimate realization of your happiness or your fulfillment or your success. If you're asking a question halfway down the pyramid, maybe that's drawing you away from what will really give you what you want. For example, if I were to wake up every single day of my life and say, am I successful? How much money do I have? Or am I successful? Did that project come to realization? And the answer to that is possibly today, no. Then I feel like I've failed. I've missed the mountaintop and I will be forlorn, or it will make me react and work harder or do something. And in the process of reacting to that, I will screw up something that's actually working quite fine, but I've just forgotten to be thankful for. For example, I can tell you that over the last 12 months or 18 months, I put on 3 or 4 kilos that I really don't need in weight. But in that period, I have focused really strongly on building a new family and having 2 little beautiful kids in my life that weren't there before 18 months ago, and building a home. And I've also focused on being more compassionate and kind with clients who can't afford the full amount of the usual coaching account. And so I've delivered a lot more of the internet and podcasts and blogs, which has meant I've sat down a bit more in an office rather than gone out riding a bike and playing around and being highly paid for it and excluding myself. So there's some behaviors that I've done that have a cause, and the effect is 3 or 4 kilos that I probably don't need. And I could be then measuring myself, saying, looking in the mirror going, am I happy with being Chris? And I look in the mirror and go, well, if Chris is defined by how much weight I have around my guts because I'm frightened of how long I'm going to live, then the answer would be categorically no, even if something else was going really well. And so I don't think it's wise to get caught up on sub-questions that need an affirmative answer in order to rise up to the ultimate question we all have in our lives. And I'm going to put that on the table today to say it's got something for me anyway. It's got something to do with spirit. It's got something to do with in my enthusiasm. And I'm going to pull that word down and down and down into its microscopic detail and say, I think it has something to do with magnetism, electromagnetism within my being. I always think, when I think about success and failure and questions we ask ourselves, I always think of Stephen Hawking, the guy who had motor neuron disease, where his body bit by bit crumpled down, where he couldn't talk, they had to put a computer in his throat, where he wrote books with digitized systems, where his hands couldn't even move the wheelchair, where he couldn't travel, they 3D'd, hologrammed him into different parts of the world so people could listen to his genius. And yet you got this feeling, this guy really still wanted to be here on this planet doing his thing. And so even though everything around him was becoming valueless, his body was being inherited by a ghost or spooks, his finances didn't really matter to him anymore because he was on the decline. There was no reversing of this process. The wheelchair got more and more sophisticated until it breathed for him while he traveled around in it. But the guy never aspired to be out of the wheelchair. What he aspired to do was something that was at the top. And I think when you got in the presence of someone like that, you still felt the magnetism, even though the body was shrinking, you still felt an electromagnetism emanating from that human being that you could call spirit. If that word means availability, if that word means enthusiasm, he had it. When he spoke about black holes and stars in the universe, he found something that sucked him into it and made every other question a yes answer, even though from the outside it looked like every other question was a no. Is his money growing and improving? Doesn't matter. Is his body healthy and is he overweight or underweight? Doesn't matter. he was on a trajectory to which all questions that we would put outside of him would, on the surface of it, sound like no. But on the inside of him, they were, even a no was a yes, because it gave him permission to do what he loved, to live with spirit, to live magnetically. And I think that magnetism was what we heard when he spoke, even through a computer. We heard his enthusiasm, and which is a clumsy damn word, but we heard his enthusiasm or love of what he was talking about. Do what you love, love what you do, and be paid for it. I think that is the ultimate realization of somewhere near the top of the mountain that could be called soul or spirit or enthusiasm or energy or inner wealth. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.